Kings tonight, 1 Kings chapter 1, right there at the beginning of the book. Brother Jorge will be leaving after the service tonight with his wife and children. They'll be headed to Mexico. Pray for their safe passage. And also, of course, he's going to find his dad, hopefully a witness to his dad. His mother's been down there, a city of 8 million people, trying to do some preliminary finding, see if they can get a hold of Jorge's dad. He's going for the purpose of witnessing to him. They'll be gone for a while, so pray for them and their safe passage and for victory in that matter. Let's stand together, please. We're going to read verses 1, 5, and 6. 1, 5, and 6. I'll read verse 1 and 6. Would you please join me on verse 5? 1 Kings 1, 1. Now, King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. Verse 5. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, Why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. Let's pray. My dear Father, help our families tonight. I pray that you'll please bless every person in this room, every family in this room still rearing a child. Lord, those that will be rearing children soon, I pray for them. I pray that you'll even help grandparents tonight that have some measure of influence over their grandchildren. Help us in this matter, Lord. May we not make the mistake that King David did with his son. May we learn from it tonight. It's not pleasant sometimes to learn from people's mistakes, but Lord, you commanded us to do that in the book of Proverbs. You said the wise would look upon it and get wiser. So help us tonight as we try to learn from it. We'll thank you for your help in advance. Bless the song. The message to follow is our prayer in Christ's name. And amen. Thank you, BC.
Wonderful is Jesus, our matchless King. Wonderful the praise which to Him we sing. Wonderful the friend unto whom we cling. On the way to glory land, our Lord is leading us to glory. Oh, so wonderful is He.
Is our Savior.
Wonderful is He.
Praise Him ever.
Wonderful is He.
The Savior
leading us to realms of glory. Sing as we go.
Wondrous glory.
Make known the love that made us free. That made us free forever. Wonderful salvation He is offering to all.
Yes, our Lord is
offering to all.
Freely He is
offering to all.
Who trust Him.
Wonderful is He who leads us lovingly above. Wonderful. Wonderful is He. Wonderful is Jesus who saved by grace. Wonderful the beauty of His dear face. So we seek with Him an abiding place. In the blessed glory land, our Lord is leading us to glory. Oh, so wonderful is He.
Is our Savior
wonderful is He.
Praise Him ever.
Wonderful is He.
Praise the Savior.
Lead us to realms of glory. Sing as we go.
His glory.
Taking on the love that made us free. That made us free forever. Wonderful salvation He is offering to all.
Yes, our Lord is
offering to all.
Freely He is
offering to all.
Who trust Him.
Wonderful is He who leads us lovingly above. Wonderful. Wonderful. Wonderful is He.
Wonderful is Jesus who saves the soul. Wonderful is He who can keep us whole. That is why we seek the eternal goal in the wondrous glory land.
Our Lord is leading us to glory. Oh, so wonderful is He.
Is our Savior.
Wonderful is He.
Praise Him ever.
Wonderful is He.
The Savior.
Leading us to realms of glory. Sing as we go.
Wondrous glory.
Making known the love that made us free. That made us free forever. Wonderful salvation He is offering to all.
Yes, our Lord is
offering to all.
Freely He is
offering to all.
Who trust Him.
Wonderful is He who leads us lovingly above. Wonderful. Wonderful. Wonderful is He.
It's a blessing. Praise God. That's good. Come here, Ben. Hey, Ben. Ben's smiling tonight. He was smiling. He enjoyed that, didn't he? I tell you what, that's good. The Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. How would you like to spend your entire junior year missing your basketball season because of a knee injury? Work hard to rehabilitate it. Go to all the therapy and 8 days before season starts, re-injure it. And now I can't play. At least for 5 weeks, right? I'm proud of this boy. I sat down with him in my office the other day, had one of the most mature man-to-man talks with an 17-year-old I've ever had. I appreciate his spirit and attitude. He was very honest. He had a hard time with it. Who wouldn't? Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. It's a senior year. Can't come back another year. We could do that. Amen, Ben. Change those grades. And a little flag here or there. You can get back on a report card. You can come back for another season. Proud of you, son. Hey, good job. God bless you. Amen. That's not easy, but I appreciate his spirit and attitude. Amen. You got that voice, that bent, a deep voice. Amen. Got it from his mother. Amen. I don't think so, huh? All right. Verse number 6, and his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? Let me talk to you for a little bit tonight on this subject, the spoiling of a child. The spoiling of a child. Now, Father, help our thoughts tonight to please, number one, be true to your book, and then to be a help to people. I pray that you'll bless the families of this church, and especially, Lord, these that are still, all of us that are still in the child-rearing era of our lives, those that will be. God, please help us to deal with our kids and not to make the mistake that David made here. Help me tonight, please. In Jesus' name, and amen. David was a great man, as we are learning on Wednesday nights, the series, Only a Boy Named David. A man after God's own heart. After a great start as a young boy, and then, of course, as a shepherd, and then a soldier, and then a servant to the king, and then, of course, he became a sovereign, became king. All that went real well. Really, everything David touched turned to gold. Then he had trouble with his own family. Had trouble with his boys, some of them. He had 6 sons. Number one son was Amnon. You remember that story. He assaulted his sister, his stepsister Tamar, in a hideous, hideous act. And he eventually was killed by his stepbrother, Tamar's full brother, Absalom. Remember that? That was child number one, boy number one. You got boy number two is Chileab. We don't know much about him. Boy number 3 was Absalom. We know much about him, unfortunately. He was the one that killed Amnon. He was the one who was very proud and arrogant. Absalom and Adonijah were both good-looking boys. That can be a real detriment to a young person. They don't have much to do with it. That's a gift from God. Parents make a big mistake, though, bragging on their beauty. Bragging on their physical features rather than their character. Now, you don't do any better, you don't do any good by telling them they're ugly, but you don't do them any favors when you talk about them being prettier than the other girls and more handsome than the other boys and in your class. You're making a big mistake when you do that. Absalom was the one who revolted against his daddy, ran his daddy off the throne, ended up with his hair caught in the forks of the oak tree, and Joab thrust 3 darts through his heart, and he died. And they erected that place called Absalom's place. Sad thing. Number 4 was Adonijah. We'll learn about him tonight. Number 5 was Shephatiah. Don't know much about him. Ephraim was boy number 6. All of these boys born to David when he was king in Hebron for those 7 years. Now, 3 of the 6 we know had some serious problems in their lives. And we'll say this tonight at the beginning. Certainly not every young boy or girl who goes haywire is the fault of the parents. I don't believe that. I mean, I don't believe that every young man or young woman that goes haywire, you can point the finger of blame at mom and dad and say it's your fault. Kids have to come to their own conclusions. They have to make their own choices about doing right and serving God. Cain and Abel came out of the same household. Abel chose rightly and Cain didn't. I can't imagine them having two different upbringings. Not much is said about that, so we're not really able to comment on it too much. But children have to be, they have to be taught right, and then eventually they're going to come to the place where they must decide on their own. Am I going to go with what I've been taught? So we should not assume anything about David's methods of child rearing or his principles of child rearing, because not much is said about those in the Bible. But when it comes to Adonijah, we are told something very interesting concerning his relationship with his daddy that I believe clearly contributed to this boy's trouble later in life. He had trouble in this chapter. Verse number 6, the Bible says his father, that's David, had not displeased him at any time. The word displeased means to carve. David had not carved on Adonijah. David hadn't worked on him. You know, what does that mean? How do you carve on a kid? How do you carve on a child? Well, the Bible says that David never displeased him by asking him the question, why hast thou done so? Or paraphrase, what are you doing? Or paraphrase, where are you going? Or paraphrase, who's going to be there? Or paraphrase, how long do you plan on staying? Or paraphrase, call me when you leave so that I'll know how soon you'll be home. I'm talking, he never cut on Adonijah with enough questions to really find out what was going on in Adonijah's life. Basically, what we have here, friend, is a classic case of spoiling a child. Indulging a child. David never caused Adonijah a moment's displeasure. He never caused Adonijah a moment's grief. He never caused Adonijah any sorrow. Now, as far as I can tell, the only possible way to accomplish that is to just indulge your child. Spoil your child. Give them everything they want, when they want it, kowtow to their little emotional outburst. If things aren't going their way, do it when they want it done. And if they are ever told no and they begin to pout or cloud up and rain and pitch a fit, you immediately back down and break down and backtrack and give in. And the kid smiles and the tears amazingly dry up. And all is well for the moment. Now, parents, listen, we do not exist, contrary to what some of our kids believe. We don't exist to bring misery, woe, grief, and sorrow in their lives. All right? We exist for more reasons than that. But you hear me tonight, neither do we exist to put an okay or a yes, you can on everything they want while they're growing up. That's not your work in this life. Spoiling a child, indulging a child, not just with material goods, but indulging, and even more dangerous than indulging them, spoiling them with material goods, indulging their will. Whatever they want to do, when they want to do it, for how long they want to do it, never denying them things that they will. You understand me tonight? Now, friend, that has long-term bad consequences for you and for them. David never displeased him. He never said no. He never said, you can't. He didn't displease his child. He indulged Adonijah. He spoiled Adonijah. We'll make a couple of comments tonight, divide this message into two sections, and I won't be long. Number one, the reality of spoiling children. The truth of the matter is, it's still going on today. And it's something that every parent faces. We face it with our youngest child. I must say that. The older you get, the more children you have. The older you get as they come along, you're not as vigorous, it seems, you're not as invigorated and as on the ball, as sharp and being on top of things as you were when those older kids were small. And if you're not careful, you'll let that last child in the long line get away with murder. Parents who have one child have to be very careful. You know, every parent wishes brothers and sisters for their only child. And every child would like brothers and sisters. So I don't think anybody just thrills at being the only child in a home. Parents want that child to have siblings. The child wants brothers and sisters. And so parents, if you're not careful to recompense, if you will, for that that child being the only child, sometimes you'll find yourself always letting that one child have their way. That's called indulging a child. It's called spoiling a child. So children must not be indulged or spoiled. Let me give you some reasons tonight why I believe children are spoiled. I believe young children are spoiled because parents don't want to be inconvenienced. Parents just don't want to be inconvenienced. You see, children have to be trained. Children have to be reared. They have to be brought up. That's what Paul told in Ephesians chapter 6. And you fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Okay? Bring them up, involved, reared, trained. That's how a child needs to be raised in this life. Now, all of this simply means it takes work on the part of the parents. But in today's society, dads and moms are too busy. Too busy with the television, too busy with the internet computer, too busy with the telephone to have time to rear the kids. And if I say no, it means less TV time, less internet time, less telephone time for me, because then I've got to deal with the after effects. You know, if I just say okay, it means I can keep watching my television program. It's absolutely poisoning my brain anyway. I keep doing that. I can keep frittering away the time on the internet, on the computer. I'd like to know. I wish only the Lord knows how much time is frittered away by God's people on the internet. You're looking at one man that despises it. I know it's got some, we use it here at the church. We use it, but I literally despise it. I have to watch my attitude. I have no desire to learn how to even work a computer. I have no desire to check email. People always say, what's your email address? I don't like it. It's a time killer. You just get on there and I know you say, no, it saves time. And I understand that too, I guess, to a point, but my goodness, friend. If you're saying yes to your child because you're glued to your television set, if you're saying okay to your child everything they ask because you're glued to the internet and on the computer, you're saying okay to your child because you got a telephone conversation, just to say okay or yes you can gives me a little bit more time on the TV, keeps them busy for another hour, keeps them quiet, keeps them out of my hair for another hour. Parents don't want to be inconvenienced with rearing children. So it's simply easier just to say okay. If I tell them no, it means it's going to cost me time to deal with the after effects. But you hear me. If you don't take the time now to deal with the after effects of saying no, you will deal with the after effects of saying yes years later. That's what happened here. David's old. At this point in his life, he should not have to deal with a boy in a man's body, but he was indulged and spoiled to the point that now in David's old age, he is a headache to his daddy. Now, friend, you can either have your headache now, or you can have your headache later. If you're looking for an easy way to rear children, you're barking up the wrong tree. Let me say, boy, before you start turning out babies like a factory that turns out cars off an assembly line. You know, and by the way, don't take that to mean I'm against babies. We had six. Not against family, not against big families. Have as many as you want. But friend, I'm going to tell you something. You, Dad and Mom need to stop and realize that every one of those little people that we bring into this world means work, responsibility, effort, time, and care. Now, it's hoopla when they're born. But you have to take the baby home, Amy. Amen. And the work starts. I've told you before, that's really how it is in hunting, you know. And if you're hunting for meat, if you'd like to put some meat in the freezer, and you're going to take a button buck or a inferior rack buck who needs to be cleared out of the gene pool, or an old doe. And you want to put some meat in the freezer. You're not waiting for a trophy to come by. You're not going to shoot an inferior deer because the trophy might be coming. You know, I was in the woods the other day for a few hours, a couple, 3 hours, and a doe came by. And yes, I'd like some more meat for the freezer, but it's the time of the year when the bucks follow. And I let the doe go. And sure enough, you know, it wasn't 60 seconds, 90 seconds later, I heard the footsteps, and here came the buck. Now, he was an inferior buck, and we can't shoot them where we hunt. But when you're meat hunting, honestly, what really plays through my mind is, do I want to shoot this animal? This animal's 5 yards from me. 10 yards. I can shoot this animal. It's not a problem if I can make the shot. The problem is, as soon as I pull the trigger, the work starts. Yay, I killed it. Oh, brother. Now you got to drag the thing out of the woods. You got to field dress it. You got to get the thing checked in. You got to hang it up. You got to pull the hide off, because you can't be like somebody was on my street the other day, dropped off 3 deer carcasses in the ditch on my road the other day. 3 deer carcasses. Somebody just killed a deer. The Bible even talks about a man that doesn't roast the substance that he takes in hunting. Just to kill is not right. So as soon as you pull the trigger, the work starts. And thankfully, I put some meat in the freezer this year. I took a deer, and it was work. It was work to dress it. It was work to cut it up. It was work. And when you bring a child into this world, it means being inconvenienced from your structured way of living. It means being inconvenienced from your television. It means being inconvenienced from the internet. It means being inconvenienced from the telephone to deal with those children. You know, dads and moms, you can't rear children sitting on a couch. And I feel sorry for some kids, because that's all some dads and moms ever do. The child is literally bored to death. Kids have energy. They've got to find a way to expel it. Take them outside this time of the year. Build your mound of leaves. Jump in it. One of the dads in the church was telling me about it the other day. Went out to the state park and made big mounds of leaves. And the little kid, they just jumped and played. Now, you know what that means? That means dad was inconvenienced possibly from some things that he would like to do for himself. But instead, investing that time in those children, coming up with activities, keeping their minds occupied, keeping their bodies moving and doing something, burning up some of that energy. You can't just birth a child and sit on a couch or in a recliner and expect that child to turn out right. And just, okay, sure, okay, yes, okay, yes, because it keeps the child out of your hair. It's called indulging a child, spoiling a child. Does not help them at all. It's a horribly unwise thing. In my mind, it's abusive. Now, there's other ways of abuse, but it's abusive to give them every piece of candy, to give them every toy, to give them every game, to give them everything they ask for, anything that they want, to always say yes. That is abusing a child, spoiling them. To let them do everything they want to do. Can I? Yes. May I? Yes. Can I? Yes. You know, when you tell them no, you cannot do that, then it could mean time, it can mean effort, it can mean work to deal with the after effects. But believe me, friend, it's worth the time, it's worth the effort, it's worth the work to deal with your children in order to avoid indulging their every desire. I think young children get spoiled because parents don't want to be inconvenienced. If that's you, friend, don't visit the hospital to have a baby. Just don't. Better not to have a child than to bring one into this world and sit on the couch with your clicker. Okay, sure. Yeah, go ahead. I don't care. That's fine. Amen. That's spoiling a child. What about when the kids grow up? What about those teenage years? Are teenagers indulged? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Why are teenagers indulged? I believe sometimes teens are spoiled because parents use indulgence to try to solidify the relationship. In other words, if I give them what they want, they will like me. Well, folks, now, did you stop and let the logic of that settle in? You better always have something to hand them to win their affection. Is that really how you want to do it? Always letting them have their way. Always letting them do what they want to do. Go where they want to go. Have what they want to have. Because I really feel like if I'll just let them have their way a little bit, it'll solidify my relationship. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. There's a better way to solidify your relationship with your teenager. Spend some time with them. I've seen this happen as a result of parents feeling guilty for not spending time with their kids. There's a guilt complex there because, man, I should be spending time with my child, but I really want to watch this football game. Man, I want to spend time with my child, but I really want to work on this vehicle. Man, I want to spend time with my child. Boy, I really want to go to the Deer Woods. Man, I want to spend time. I need to spend time with my child, but I really want to do shopping. And, you know, and we get this built-up guilt because we don't spend time with them. And so the easy thing to do is when they ask for something that's a little bit marginal, okay. Because we feel like, you know, this will help the relationship. Folks, two wrongs never make a right. The right thing to do is to restructure your time and restructure your interest to invest yourself in your child. I got concerned about a child one time. I won't say which one it is. Was. Got concerned about a child. Talked to my wife about it. And then set out on purpose to spend extra time and show an extra interest and take a little special extra this or that in that child's life, only to watch after several weeks that child to transform. Contrary to what some teenagers want you to believe, they do want a relationship with you. They want to know their dad. They want to know their mom. They want to have fun with dad. They want to have fun with mom. They want to do something besides push a lawnmower. Now, I'm for pushing a lawnmower. I think every child ought to learn how to cut grass behind a push mower. In fact, the old kind with the blades. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something, parents. They need more than that. So because we don't give them what we should give them, we get a little bit guilt complex going, and so here they come with some marginal request, something the request to do something that's marginal. They're going to be somewhere that I really don't want them to be, but you know, man, I've had to say no, and I haven't spent any time with this girl, I haven't spent any time with this boy, so yeah, go ahead. And the deep down, the desire is to solidify that relationship. Let me tell you something, friend. You cannot build a relationship by spoiling your kids, indulging them. Can't do that. So parents have to be careful. Then parents can spoil their teenagers because they are afraid of saying no. They're literally afraid of being the bad guy. I wear the black hat. I wear the white hat. You got to be the bad guy. You can't always be the knight in shining armor rearing kids. Sometimes you've got to be, I don't know, what do you want to say? Who? Incredible Hulk or the devil, the red suit? I don't know. You've got to be the bad guy, friend. Let's be very careful. Boys turning 16, 17, and 18 years of age is no license to start loosening up and yielding to every request they make. Well, they're older now, so I got to let them do more what they want to do, as long as it's okay. As long as it's healthy and good. But friend, do not begin to indulge them at age 17 and 18. Don't do that. I think one of the worst things you can do is hand the boy at age 16 the cars to a vehicle that's his. Say, here you go, son, it's yours. You may have a car that the boy drives, a vehicle that the girl drives. I want to tell you something, friend. Be very careful about indulging their desire. Every child hits age 16 and wants to drive. And wants to drive their own car. Everyone. Sure. But you say, well, down the street and our neighbors and my friends at work and they got their kids a car. Let them do what they want to do. You go by the book. Don't get involved in indulging your child's every desire. Where are they going? Who are they with? Who are they playing ball with? Who are they at the mall with? Why are they riding around town with no purpose? Now, you can't assume every time you see two boys or two girls or three boys, three girls in the church together in a vehicle, you can't assume that they have no purpose and they're out just killing time and riding around. I was driving down the road the other day, and I was talking on a cell phone. And my wife and Leah were taking Max to meet Hannah up on Highway 59, and they were lost trying to find the place where they were going to meet. So they called me, or I called them, and I began to talk on the phone. I began to try to explain to them this and ask questions in a very calm way. Why didn't you get direction before you? Don't you know Hannah has no cell phone? How are you going to find her? Do you know where you are? What are you? And I'm driving down north, and I see this blue truck behind me. I'm thinking, man, that guy is close. There were two boys in that truck. Travis Rose said to Gage, man, that guy is drunk. And Gage said, I think it's the pastor. They pulled up beside me. Hey. It's all over the road. I was over the white lines and on the shoulder and back again. It was terrible. I knew it. I was mad. But it was my wife's fault. You understand that, amen? I said, what are you boys doing? We're going to help. We're moving. They moved. Dave and Dolores moved. Made the paper, too. Amen. And so we're moving. You can't assume just because you see two boys in a vehicle driving somewhere that they're up to just wandering around. Sometimes they have a purpose in that, and parents know where they are, what's happening and everything. But I'm going to tell you something. Parents, do not indulge the desires of those teenagers just to go out. Yeah, but they're getting older and they're 17 and 18 and no. Do not indulge the desire just to be out. If someone were to ask you, why do you let your son run here? Why do you let your daughter get involved here? Well, they wanted to. Not a good answer. Not a good answer. When you say that, Pastor, they get mad and they spout off and they get quiet and they all shut up and they rain. Deal with it. That's why you're a parent. I'm simply saying you can't afford, for whatever reason, friend, you cannot afford to indulge your kids at any age. And it does start very early in life when you tell them no, and then they reach out to touch the thing you're telling them not to touch, and they stop in mid No. I've been there. Now, we laugh now, but to giggle and let that go on and let them grab the object and laugh about it is indulging your child. Spoiling their will. The reality of spoiling children, you have to be careful not to give them everything they want, not to indulge their will. They don't have to do everything they want to do. It's good for them to be told no. And then you work on helping them deal with no, to where they can handle it. Let me tell you the results of spoiling children. Look at verse number 5. So here is this boy. He's growing up in David's home, and David at no time in the relationship ever displeases this son by asking him, what are you doing? Where are you going? No, you can't do this. He never causes his son any grief or any sorrow. So now what happens? David is old. Verse 5. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself. Well, of course. Saying what? I will. Well, sure. What do you expect him to say? Because all his life he said, I want to. Okay. Can I? Yes. Do you care? Go ahead. I want to. Go ahead. Can I go? All right. Of course he says, I will. The will is indulged. The will is strengthened until finally the child says, as an adult, I will have my way. You feed the will, you feed the will, you feed the will, you accommodate the will, you indulge the will, and the will just gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger to do what it wants to do. That's exactly what happened right here. Adonijah is not supposed to be king. Solomon is. But he sees a little opening there and he steps through it. This is what I want. I will have it. Friend, this is the natural conclusion of a lifetime of as a child and a teenager being handed everything they want. They have had their way so often. They've never been denied their will. They've been indulged so many times that now, listen to this, now they are under the illusion. The illusion I can have my way anytime I want it. Well, that's an illusion. You can't have your way anytime you want it. The alarm clock's going to go off tomorrow morning. You've got to get up and go to work. If you did what you wanted to do, some of you men, you'd stay in bed. You'd say, phooey on it. But when you rear a child from boyhood or girlhood through the elementary and junior years, through the junior high and the high school years, always indulging their will, you're giving that child the false illusion, I can have my way anytime I want it. And guess what they do? They carry that into marriage. I'm going to tell you something. No marriage will succeed with either husband or wife getting married under the illusion, I'll always have what I want in this relationship. No marriage will resolve. No marriage will survive with an attitude like that. Huh? Marriage is the biggest give and take relationship in life. There's no earthly relationship more close than that of husband and wife. None so passionate. Both good and bad. And it is a lifetime of learning to say no to yourself. But if mom and dad brought you up all through your boyhood, your girlhood, your teen years, by letting you have your way, and you brought that into a marriage relationship, it's no wonder you're having problems. It's no wonder. Children go into adulthood with that illusion, they carry that into a work relationship. Sometimes I have to tell these guys no. When you work for somebody, sometimes they have to tell you no. You have to get along with that. You have to be a man. You have to be a grown up. You have to be mature. But if you've been handed your will all through life over and over and over again, now as an adult in a work relationship, you're living under the false impression, illusion, I can have my way anytime I want it. You cannot have it that way without severe consequences. You carry that attitude into life as an adult anywhere in any relationship, and you have the recipe for disaster. And I'm not saying if you were raised by parents who gave you your will every time you wanted it, said okay, and never told you no, indulged you and spoiled you, and now you're a spoiled adult. I'm not saying that you could point your finger of blame to them, but I am telling you, they didn't help you. And parents, we don't do our children any favors when we indulge their desires at any age through life. Any age. You know what the final result is in this story? Adonijah did not get what he wanted. And he couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle it. Because as a grown man, he couldn't have his way. And so he kept pressing, and he kept pressing. Solomon became the king, and he told Adonijah, you go to your house, you stay there, and you stay out of my way, and I'll let you live. He couldn't do it. That's all the guy had to do. Go to his home, live his life, stay out of Solomon's way. But he couldn't. I don't have time tonight to go into all that happened. But he went to Bathsheba and said, could you go to King Solomon and could you ask him if I could have Abishag, who was brought to King David? And I'd like to see, he's still grasping for his way, still grappling for a part of what he wanted, still stretching and reaching to have his will. Solomon heard about that. Bathsheba came in and said, would you give Abishag to be Adonijah's wife? And Solomon, the wisest man on earth, he saw through all that. He said, Adonijah told you to ask that, didn't he? He turned to his servants and said, go kill him. They went to his house and killed him. He died grasping for something that was out of his reach, that he wanted so badly because as a boy, his daddy never took the time to say no. And displease him. He died attempting to get his hands on the throne. Usually kids who are spoiled and indulged have to have their way. And those kids who are spoiled and indulged to have their way, when they become adults, listen to this, they live in pursuit of their will the rest of their lives. And as a result, they live in misery. They live unhappy lives. They live joyous lives because people who live in pursuit of what they want and never seem to grasp. You can't always have your way. You say, you know, you talk about the church sometimes. You say, well, you know what? You're the pastor, of course. I don't get my way here in every area. But that's okay. I don't have to have my way. I wasn't brought up having my way. My dad and mom put the screws to us, man, when we were little. Now, when we got older, they loosened up. My dad will tell you that. He wouldn't be ashamed to talk about it. He's just grateful. I had trouble. Tim had trouble. He's just grateful that God got a hold of us two older boys and straightened our lives out before it came too much, man, too much work. They began to indulge us as teenagers. It wasn't good. Now, parents, we save ourselves a little trouble, a little inconvenience down the road. Or let me say it like this. I wrote it wrong. Here's what I meant to say. It cost us a little trouble, a little inconvenience right now to not spoil our kids and our teenagers. But you better choose the little inconvenience and the little trouble right now and spoil. Do not spoil them while they're young. Because if you do spoil them while they're young, you will contribute to the spoiling of their future. you know who it's going to be a headache for when it's all said and done? You. It's going to be a headache for you. Kids have to come to their own conclusion. They have to make their own choices about serving God and doing right. And boy, I tell you what, I have seen some kids grow up in good homes and really go on to live for the Lord. And I've seen some kids grow up in good homes and just go haywire. Parents, we do not do them or us a favor if we're always indulging and spoiling that child. So for those of you that have little kids and for those of us that have teenagers, young children, let's take the time, the effort, the energy to deal with that now. Avoid spoiling them. Because, brother, if we don't take the time to deal with it now, it'll come back to bite us later. That's the honest truth, as well as them. Adonijah died in pursuit of something that he wanted so badly he could not get. The spoiling of your child. Is your response always okay? Do you ever say no? And kiddos, if your moms and dads say no, look up at them and thank God you got a dad and a mom who have enough character to rear you right. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Be careful about the spoiling of your children. Dear Father, help us tonight, please. My thoughts got scrambled at the end. Dear Lord, I apologize. I'm sorry. I hope what I said made sense at the end. I know what I meant to say in my heart. Help us not to spoil the child. And in so doing, contribute to spoiling their future. Lord, give us a character to rear those kids in the nurtured admonition of your word. Help us to be willing to say no when necessary. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there somebody here tonight, Pastor Angel? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Could you pray for me tonight? I don't know if I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you lift your hand, please? Anybody like that here this evening? Anybody say, I need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism? Have not been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that here tonight? I would speculate that every adult person in this room knows of someone who has spoiled a child. Maybe you made that mistake. Maybe you're in the middle of it right now. Boy, Pastor, to be honest, I look at this thing and I'm saying okay and yes far too often just because I don't want to be inconvenienced. I'm trying to buy a relationship by letting them have their way. I'm afraid of dealing with the no. Did God speak to your heart tonight? Don't want to spoil the child by indulging their every request. Take the time, the effort, the energy to deal with that now. We'll be glad you did. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, ladies. Play us a song. They're playing. The altar's open for you tonight.